This is The President's Perspective, a podcast with the purpose of sharing what's important and what matters to the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Mark Rudin. I'm Jared Knight. We're beginning this project with a series dedicated to the 2019-2024 strategic plan adopted by A&M Commerce. The plan spells out the vision and mission of the institution as well as its four foundational principles, which are a commitment to be transformative, innovative, inclusive, and sustainable. The plan itself is available online at tamuc.edu/strategic plan, and we'll link to it everywhere this podcast is available. Included in the plan are five strategic priorities and goals, which are student preparedness, elevate research, create an inclusive community, align our initiatives, and transform our operations. This episode is dedicated to the goal of creating an inclusive community. Dr. Rudin, pleased to include you in this discussion.
Great to be here, Jared.
What does an inclusive community look and feel like in 2020?
Our goal is to create a safe, healthy, inclusive campus that allows faculty, staff, and especially our students to achieve their academic aspirations. That's what we should be about. We cannot do that if we do not have mutual respect for each other, treat each other in a civil manner, acknowledge differences in opinion, differences in culture, differences in experiences on a campus. We have to acknowledge all those and factor those into consideration as we move forward. You and I may differ, Jared, and we may be adamantly on opposite sides of the issue at hand, but we should be able to treat each other with respect and conduct ourselves in a very civil manner. That's what we're trying to achieve here at the university. We want everyone to be successful. Are we going to have our differences once in a while? But that is expected at an institution of higher ed. That's what we do. We disseminate and talk about ideas and go back and forth and have those type of discussions. We should be respectful of everyone's ideas and opinions and create an opportunity to include everyone's ideas into that dialogue.
And I think, too, that recognizes the role of the institution. It's nobody's goal is to disagree. The disagreement, the discourse, is a starting point, is a jumping off point. The result is something far different from everybody go to your corner, right? Mm-hmm. The result is not a polarization. The result is a sort of a coming together mind, as you said here, and I'm quoting from the deal, an environment that's characterized by respect and collaboration. This can happen even when folks are in disagreement about one thing or the other.
Absolutely.
Talk about some of these bullets here, too. To enhance civility and collegiality of administrators, faculty, staff, and students. Mm-hmm. Here, we're really just putting an expectation on being kind, right, to one another.
Yeah. And there's a major initiative going on campus right now, the whole civility initiative. I think, you know, it can be wrapped into however you want to take a look at it. Customer service, meeting the demands of people that require your services or whatever that may be. But at the end of the day, it's about how do we treat each other in a very kind and respectful manner. So when I think of people on the front lines, staff and faculty and so forth, how do we treat each other? How do we treat prospective students? I mean, imagine a scenario where a family comes up from Dallas and says, let's go take a look at A&M Commerce. And they go to an office and they're put off. Or they're not treated, you know, you're not important to me, not treated kindly. Why would they want their son or daughter, niece or nephew to come here?
Right.
Right? Why would you want to introduce them into an environment that claims they want to be inclusive, but from minute one, there was no indication there's any kind of civility or kindness that folks reached out to them with. And so how do we treat each other kindly? How do we treat each other respectfully? And again, I think there would be some individuals that would say, well, wait, what are you doing? What is civility really? Is it really to treat each other kindly and respectfully? Or is it to put the clamps down on any kind of dialogue? Oh, you can't say that because you disagree with me. You're not kind. No, that's farthest from the truth.
Right.
I want the dialogue again. I want the interaction. I want the disagreement. Because that's what makes us great
right. At
times. But we can do so in a very civil and respectful way.
That's what they say about metallurgy, right? That you've got to get it awfully hot before you can make something incredible.
Right. That's right.
In this same vein, I wanted to supplement our discussion today with audio from a recent broadcast of the Blacklands Cafe
on 88.9 KETR, in which the host, John Mark Dempsey, discusses with counseling professor Dr. Lavelle Hendricks about the Civility Initiative at Texas A&M University Commerce, and you were a guest on that chat as well. Let's listen.
And our guest in the cafe this morning is Dr. Lavelle Hendricks, Associate Professor of Counseling at A&M Commerce. Good morning, Lavelle.
Good morning, Dr. John Mark Dempsey. How are you today?
I'm grand, and Dr. Hendricks has brought a guest, a very special guest with him this morning.
Indeed, our special guest, the President and CEO of the University, Dr. Mark Rutan.
Dr. Rutan, good morning.
Good morning to both of you.
We have talked with Lavelle here several times in recent weeks about the subject of civility.
That is correct. The Civility is the initiative that President Rutan put in place this past year, and it's just been moving exceptionally fast here on campus. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about how this came about and what initiated the idea in the first place that this was something we should all be focused on.
Yeah, well, thanks again for having me here today. Well, I appreciate it. It's always good to talk to you guys. Yeah, I think that we always have to understand that we're in the people business. Even a higher institution of higher ed has to feel that way, but we are. We are there to work towards the success of our students. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of students that are new to higher ed. We have a lot of students that have not been part of a higher ed family. And I think it's incredibly important that we work with these students, we work with the parents to be able to create an environment that they feel comfortable, they feel safe, they feel healthy, they feel inclusive, in an environment where they can be successful. And that's what we're trying to strive mm-hmm. for.
Are we mostly focusing on students and the need for students to learn to be more civil, or are we mostly focused on faculty and staff or everybody?
Yeah, I would say everyone. Yeah. But initially, I think we're reaching out to faculty and staff and having discussions with them to think twice about how they interact with folks, whether it's students or fellow faculty and staff. And we've implemented a number of new initiatives at the university. Lavelle can brief you on those. That focuses on that. Again, that customer service to help our students be successful and navigate through. College is already hard enough. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't make it any harder. We should do everything we in our power to make sure that they're successful and they're accommodated while they're pursuing their degree.
One of the things we've done, John Mark, and of course the president's reiterated this over and over again. Of course, we are a student-centered university. We brought in the Dale Carnegie Group, mm-hmm. where we've had right now 100 of the university employees. That's with the executive team, that's faculty, staff members, department chairs, and so forth, who've actually gone through this training, and it's just been wonderful. And we're looking forward to the next training on January the 30th, where we'll take another batch of 50 employees through the training so we can promote a more civil community here at the university.
We're talking with Dr. Mark Rutan, the president of A&M Commerce, and also Dr. Lavelle Hendricks, associate professor of counseling, and we're talking about the Civility Initiative at the university. What are some examples in the training? What are some of the things that you do?
I think for the most part, first of all, we teach the concept of respect, understanding, nurturing community, a caring community, a sharing community, a lot of hands-on exercise with those individuals who are in attendance. We have other trainings in place, and I'm exceptionally excited about what we'll be doing with our students in the residence halls, our Greek life students, our students who are involved in athletics as well. We're bringing all of those individuals together to talk about how we can promote more civility here on campus, and we are designating those individuals as student ambassadors.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what's so it's been actually surprising a little bit, but very welcome, is as I go across campus and I talk to folks about the Civility Initiative, and I think, okay, am I overstating this? Are we making too big a deal out mm-hmm. of this? And I would say to a person, to a academic department, they're saying, no, we're spot on. This is exactly what mm-hmm. we should be doing. We should have been doing this all along. So mm-hmm. the campus, I believe, has received this with open arms and is actively engaged. And I've heard nothing but good things from folks that have taken part of these civility workshops mm-hmm. and training.
And the beautiful thing about it, John Mark, is that we're going to have over 500 university employees who will actually go through the training. And as I said a few minutes ago, our next training is scheduled for January. And I assure you, we have no problem getting individuals signed up and registered. People are actually emailing and texting saying, I'd like to go through the training because they've heard wonderful things about it. And it is in a non-intrusive environment as well, teaching them great skills, how to make A&M Commerce the premier university that we are.
Dr. Rudin, do we see this going on for an extended period of time, or what's the time frame for it?
Absolutely. This is not a one-and-done deal by any means. I think this is an ongoing discussion that we have from this point forward into the future. So I don't think there's such a thing as being too civil, right?
Right.
I think we're... We have a lot of issues in our society, and as far as being able to have dialogue and be able to disagree and agree at the same time, and I think we can set the example and be an institution and a leader in this area, and continue that path forward.
Again, that was you, Dr. Rudin, speaking with Dr. Lavelle Hendricks and John Mark Dempsey on 88.9 KETR about the topic at hand, which is the obligation to create an inclusive community at Texas A&M University Commerce.
There's another bullet here about recruiting, developing, and retaining diverse students, faculty, staff, and administrators. And I would think that the student component maintains itself. I'd like to think that the diversity of the students are going to continue to reflect the community such that students who decide to come to A&M Commerce are themselves already a diverse group, though I do recognize with initiatives like the Hispanic Serving Institution Initiative and so forth that we've got to make sure that we're recruiting across the board the way that would support those initiatives.
And I would agree with that, Jared. But I would say that we can do a much better job as an institution in serving that diverse student body with a diverse administration and faculty and staff. We have a little bit of work to do there. We've made some strides in some areas of introducing staff and faculty of color to the university. We need to do more, and we are going to do more. We are, I can't tell you how many discussions I've had with either a Latinx or a African-American student that has told me and confided in me, really, that I'm a senior here. I haven't had one class from an African-American faculty member. That would have been nice to have that, to take a class from someone that doesn't teach a class any better, but maybe someone that looks like me and comes from my background. And
right. And
there's some real value in that.
Well, there's more research now that supports that, you know, even in public education, in elementary school, that students who see teachers who look like them and who talk like them and who are, you know, representative of their demographic, whatever that demographic happens to be, those students tend to be more successful in the long run. I would think that the same thing would hold true in the collegiate atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it all begins with the recruitment process, right? Are we, when we have a job posting, are we truly doing everything in our effort to make sure that job description and that opportunity reaches every possible nook and cranny out there,
right,
the most, and perhaps reaches the most diverse audience that we can have to recruit people to apply for that position. And so we are looking and working with HR and some other human resources and some other offices to figure out how do we expand that reach of our job postings. I can't tell you how happy I am that our TAFE group, our Texas Association of Black Faculty and Black Personnel in Higher Ed, have stepped up into this discussion and said, you know, maybe we ought to think out of the box a little bit. Maybe one strategy may be, maybe we need to home grow our own. Maybe we need to advance African-American or Latinx Hispanic staff. And if we produce Hispanic or African-American PhD candidates, can we home grow our own and bring those very talented people and keep them here?
Right.
And have them become part of our faculty and staff ranks.
Right. But you also mentioned, well, you don't mention, the plan mentions, too, as another of this milk stool, this three-legged milk stool that supports,
right,
is creating occasions for meaningful interactions across the institution, the university, including opportunities that enhance global awareness. And this really kind of has us not just looking inwardly, but looking out across the globe, across the world, to see what sort of not only skills we're going to need in order to interact across the globe, but also to make sure that we are shucking anything that would prevent that from being second nature to our students.
Yeah. And we do have a very healthy international student population on campus and love the opportunities that may be provided to have those students interact with our students and faculty and staff and really use that as a learning experience. You know, I could see scenarios where international students and our own U.S. citizens as students are sitting in the classroom learning a topic or a subject matter, but approaching it from different perspectives and learning it from different perspectives and appreciating how that learning and different perspectives are across student bodies and individual by individual basis. So, you know, That being said, I think that, you know, anything we can do to continue to create visits and international opportunities for all our students to visit other countries and look at other ethnicities and cultures and bring that information back home is something we should continue to focus on as an institution.
Well, the message is to be as inclusive as possible, creating an inclusive community. That's part of the strategy, the five-part strategy here in the strategic plan. Dr. Rudin, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here, Jared.
The President's Perspective is produced by 88.9 KETR from the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.